Yecheskel Parachavav, Pazik Zayin, Leilinisham Sarninu Harav, Avram Nisanel Ben Shalomo, for Rafu Shlema, for those who need Rafu Shlema. The destruction of Tsar is going to be complete. Kicho Amar Hashem Elokim, Hashem says about Tyre. And again, ironically, not ironically, but this is coming after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So it's interesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns his and Yecheskel's attention to the surrounding nations rather than to the terrible destruction Klal Yisrael has experienced, which we've heard about so much in Yirmiyah, Eicha, parts of Yechezkel before. It's almost like there's no need to pile on at this point. So we turn to Tsar instead. I am going to bring against Tyre, T-Y-R-E, the great empire, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the emperor of Babylon, from the north, Melech Melachim. Interesting phrase. You rarely hear this about a human being. A king of kings, not Melech Malchei HaMelachim, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, but this is the king of all mortal kings, because he rules over the world, and they are his vassals, and they do what he tells them. So he orders the kings to raise armies for his attack on Tsar. Besus, horses, uvarechev, and chariots, uvafarashim, horsemen, riding the horses, v'kahal v'amrav, a company and many people. A huge number of people coming against Tsar, against which they're defenseless. Chesben osayich basodeh bacherev yaharog. We said this before, but we reemphasize it now again. Your daughters in the field will be killed, will be slain by the sword. And again, the daughters of the field may mean smaller villages, smaller habitations. But the metaphor is pretty terrible. They'll go through a siege, and the siege works are just going to absolutely crush them. And he will build siege works against you. And he'll pour a siege mound against you so that he's got the high ground, and you're in what a roadie in Iron Man 2 called the kill zone. And he will station against you soldiers with shields. Tzina literally means shields. But it's soldiers with shields who are going to be stationed against you. So you can't strike back against them. They're just going to absolutely destroy you in every way. Some of the shields are oversized, so they're protected from the arrows and stones that rain down on them. It might be akin to the Roman strategy where they interlocked their shields to make, they called it the tortoise, the turtle, a shell above themselves to protect themselves. In the movie Gladiator, in the first big scene in the German forest, you see the soldiers interlock their shields and they're almost impenetrable. Tes umechi kavolo. And he will place his catapult, yitain b'chom osayach, against your walls. So it's interesting that we have a word, umechi kavolo, a siege engine throwing huge rocks, war machines. At the time of Rashi, he described it at length because this was one of the great ways of waging war during the Crusades by either the Arabs or the Crusaders from Europe. Some suggest it might be a bow shooting arrows at people standing on the wall. So it's a weapon to strike long-range targets. And your towers are going to be demolished with his instruments of destruction, his instruments of churban. They were turned against Yerushalayim. They were turned against the Beis HaMikdash. Now they're turned against you. Some say it's sledgehammers that smash your shields. Yud mishefas susav yichaseich avakam. From the abundance of his horses. Shifa, interesting word. From the abundance of his horses, the dust is going to cover you. Yechaseich, you'll be covered. Kisui, with avak. Avak v'afar, you're going to be covered with dust from all the dust being raised up by the trampling of the hooves. This is the overwhelming power of the enemy. Mikol porash v'gal gal v'rechev. From the sound, the incredible noise, the rash of horsemen, wheels, and chariots. Tir ashna chomosayich. Your walls are going to shake, are going to quake. Bivo'o bish'orayich. Please ignore the telephone ringing. When he enters your gates. Oh, it's a call from a spam. Kimavoe ir mivuka'a. And like those, sorry, it goes four times and then it stops, as men enter a breached city. So, the walls are quaking, the noise, the sound is overwhelming, the dust is overwhelming, the visuals are overwhelming. All of these are to show that all of the senses of the people inside the city are just going to be under siege, literally and figuratively. Yudalef befarsos susav yermos eskol chutzos sayich. With the hooves of his horses, he's going to trample all of your streets. Amech bacherev yarog, your nation is going to be massacred with the sword. Umatzvos uzech la'aretz teireid. And the matseva, the monuments to your strength, are going to crash down to the ground. All the lofty towers that were symbols of strength and a place to escape and take refuge, they're going to knock them all down. It's interesting that a lot of this, of course, happened to Klal Yisrael first in Yerushalayim. This is a very close description to what happened in Yerushalayim. Imagine if all of the anti-Semites in the world who cheered on October 7th were victims of the exact same sort of all-out attack from guys in parasailing and troopers and Toyota trucks. You know, imagine if Greenwich Village, imagine if Midtown, imagine if Los Angeles or San Francisco or college campuses were suddenly overrun by hordes of terrorists. Would they have the incredible strength of reaction that Klal Yisrael had to save lives that day so that only thousands of people were killed? Or would they quail and cower and just watch the dust and sea wash over them the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing Tsar? Interesting question.